secretary and presidential candidates. Given that the presidential frontrunners, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, have huge unfavorability ratings, worse than any candidate in 30 years, it's time to hear from alternatives.
Given that the presidential
frontrunners, with us tonight, are the three leading libertarian candidates,
and I say leading because they place first, second, and third in polling conducted by the Libertarian Party.
First, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, then tech entrepreneur John McAfee, third, Libertarian Republic founder Austin Peterson. So, candidates, tonight's rules are simple. I or someone else will ask you a question. You get 1 minute to respond, 30 seconds for a follow-up response. If you go over your time, you'll hear this. Please don't go past your time. Before we start the questions, each candidate has an opening statement. Governor Johnson, since you were first in the early polls, you start.
Well, I'm Gary Johnson. I would like everyone to know that I have a wonderful family. Son Eric, daughter Saya, granddaughter Cora, and fiance, best friend Kate. Kate and I share a passion for health and wellness, and it's great to be in love, and I'm in love. I've also been an entrepreneur my entire life. I was the kid that was throwing newspapers, but in college I started a one-man handyman business and actually grew that business to employ over 1,000 people. Money for me, business for me, has always represented freedom. I sold that business in 1999. Nobody lost their job, and the business went on to new heights. In business, I learned some really valuable lessons. One is the magic of sharing in the profits. The other is showing up on time, keeping your word. It's amazing how those simple principles work. I got elected governor of New Mexico. I'd never been involved in politics before prior to getting elected governor of New Mexico. New Mexico is a state that's 2-to-1 Democrat. I got elected. I promised to bring a common sense business approach to state government. In that context, I may have vetoed more legislation than the other 49 governors in the country combined. 750 vetoes, thousands of line item vetoes. I think it made a difference. I got reelected by a bigger margin the second time than the first time. I'm also an athlete and an adventurer. I have climbed the highest mountain on each of the 7 continents, something that was a goal of mine, something that I achieved. I'm hoping to ride the divide next summer if I'm not elected president.
Mr. McAfee.
Libertarianism is grounded in the concept of liberty. But what is liberty? Liberty means that our bodies and our minds belong to ourselves. Liberty is lost when governments decide what is right or wrong regarding what we may do with ourselves. Every law that is tried to restrict or limit personal freedoms and personal liberty has failed. Governments and countries have criminalized prostitution or homosexuality, legislated what ideas we may teach our children, have criminalized the consumption of alcohol or other drugs. And what is the result? Our war on drugs has not diminished the consumption of illegal drugs. It has merely filled our prisons with non-violent citizens and created the most powerful and brutal drug cartel in the world. Prohibition did not reduce the consumption of alcohol. It created suffering through punishment and gave rise to organized crime. And ideas, like evolution, may be offensive to some, but ideas have a life of their own and cannot be extinguished. Liberty, which is personal freedom, cannot be restricted through laws. It can only be unjustly punished as it is expressed, giving rise to suffering throughout society. We're all libertarians on this stage, and you are libertarians here. I am hoping that this debate tonight will make clear the value of liberty in all things. The fact that liberty, its very existence, depends on privacy, and that it is the foundation of a sane and prosperous society.
Mr. Peterson.
Yeah. First off, thank you very much, John, and thank you to Fox Business for hosting this forum. I was born in Independence, Missouri. I was raised on a horse farm in Peculiar, just a short drive from a town called Liberty. Coincidence? I'll let you guys be the judge. I learned about economic liberty when my parents sent me out into the fields to plant chrysanthemums and sell them to the people of my small town. I learned about personal liberty from those who taught me about the Golden Rule. I believe that people are inherently good and that they can be trusted with freedom, and that that freedom should be as expansive as possible. The role of government is to protect our liberty, not our security. That's what the Second Amendment is for. I'm the grassroots candidate with a real national campaign. I have an army of freedom ninjas at my back who have been volunteering for me and financing me the entire way. I'm the fiscally conservative candidate with $0 of campaign debt, and I've budgeted my funds in the same manner volunteering for me. I am proving that you can do more with less. I may be the youngest candidate in this race, but I'm the oldest in libertarian years. I'm the anti-establishment candidate in this anti-establishment party. I'm here to shake things up and inspire a generational liberty movement now and into the future. And I'm the only candidate on this stage who can inspire a coalition of libertarians, conservatives, reasonable Democrats, and independents to win. I'm pro-life, pro-constitution, and pro-freedom. My plan is to take over the government so I can leave everyone alone. Thank you. The revolution continues. Thank you, friends.
All right, on to questions. The main hits I hear about libertarians, a couple things. The first is we're naive. We're soft on terror. We don't understand the need to keep America safe. We're isolationists. Governor Johnson, you've said you would cut military spending. Why would Americans feel safe with you as president?
Well, there is a very real terrorist threat out there, and to address it, we need to cut off the funding. But when it comes to military intervention, I think our military interventions have made things worse. The fact that we put troops on the ground, the fact that we drop bombs, the fact that drone flights kill thousands of innocent people, making the situation much worse. Also is the capriciousness, if you will, of the executive to engage in these military interventions as opposed to involving Congress. I would love to see a simplified mechanism for Congress weighing in on our military intervention, something that I think is really cornerstone to our system of government. Let Congress debate and discuss militarily intervening.
Mr. McAfee, people say libertarians are isolationists.
Isolationists in terms of other nations? Not at all. I think isolationism is taking on the role of world policemen, making us a separate entity from the rest of the world. We're the policemen and you guys are the people that we police. So no, we're not isolationists at all. We are inclusive. What has created terrorism? Our interference in the affairs of foreign states, dropping bombs on families where mothers and fathers are killed, or brothers and sisters, I would be angry too. You would be angry too. So it is not isolationism to say that we need to bring our troops home, or that we need to stop interfering in the affairs of foreign nations. It is reality and practicality.
Mr. Peters.
You know, obviously terrorism is a threat, but we have got to resist these politicians who are going to fearmonger as an excuse to take away our liberties. Stand up to people who use every tragedy as an excuse to take away our constitutional rights. Now listen, Thomas Jefferson had the Islamic terrorists of his day. He still managed to fight them constitutionally. After 9/11, Congressman Ron Paul went to the Congress and asked for letters of mark and reprisal. Congress should update these letters. Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution would give us powerful tools to fight ISIS in a way that doesn't involve invasion, occupation, and nation building. No matter what, if we want to defend our national security, we should only go to war with a declaration of war. The president should always obey the Constitution, and if I'm Commander-in-Chief, I promise to only go to war if it's constitutional and to obey the law.
And just a quick answer, please. When is it right to go to war?
When attacked.
Same.
My question is, why do we have war? I mean, we're operating
people
under the assumption that war is a necessity. I don't buy that. I think
the president does have the power of the veto.
Well, when is it right to go to war?
Only if the Congress declares war constitutionally is it right
when
for the United States.
When should Congress?
If we have a significant threat, there are circumstances when the United States may go to war, but we should only do so through due process.
Another thing we're criticized for, libertarians are criticized for, we're soft on drugs. People think libertarian means libertine, and some say libertarians encourage drug use? Mr. McAfee, you first.
What is a drug? I mean, almost everyone in America drinks alcohol. This is a drug. Coffee is a drug. Cigarettes are drugs. Being soft on drugs, what does that actually mean? I think what's happening now, we declared war on everything, including drugs. Why? Because certain people prefer alcohol to marijuana, or certain people prefer marijuana to heroin. What is the difference? A heroin addict's addiction is its own punishment. We don't need to punish people more. Is that being soft? No. You are responsible for the repercussions of your choices, and if you are taking drugs, you've got to live with that.
Thank you, candidates and viewers. I thank you for your suggestions via social media. If more of you want to join this discussion, please follow me on Twitter at John Stossel. Use the forum or like my Facebook page so you can post there. Coming up, questions about the size of government. What should we cut? And more about war. When should we go to war? That and much more when we return. Welcome back to our Libertarian Presidential Forum. On Facebook, Lonnie posts, people say libertarians will cut the safety net, welfare programs, to non-existence. So, how would you address the welfare state? Should it be replaced? How is it not effective? What should happen? Mr. Peterson.
I have a spending plan and a taxing plan that would cut across the board. This is called the penny plan. And what this would do, this would put us on the path to a balanced budget. Yes, I do think that we need to cut away some of these social safety nets, but we should not do it overnight. My penny plan cuts one penny from every federal dollar across the board. If Congress decides that one program is too important, such as Medicare and Medicaid, they could make an equal corresponding cut. It also includes a balanced budget amendment. We need to force Congress to live within their means. 18% of total GDP. If the American people have to balance their checkbook, so should Congress. Right now, the debt to GDP ratio is 105%. Let's force them to stay within the law, no more than 18% of GDP, cut the budget across the board. Everybody takes a haircut. That's how we'll shrink government, and no one is going to be hurting.
No one is going to be hurting, he said. People say you libertarians are not going to take care of the poor. The government has to do that.
Having been governor of New Mexico, I can identify what I believe are those people that are truly in need. And if there wasn't a safety net, I think that that would be bad. I want to support those truly in need, but we've gone way over the line when it comes to that. I think the biggest issue facing this country right now is the fact that government is too big. It spends too much money. It taxes too much. I would be proposing a balanced budget to Congress, which would be a 20% reduction in federal spending. And to do that, you've got to include Medicaid, Medicare, military spending. And to do that, you could devolve Medicaid and Medicare to the states. In my heart of hearts, as governor of New Mexico, if the federal government would have given me Medicaid and Medicare with 20% less money, I could have delivered health care. I could have administered or seen the administration of 20% less money to deliver those services. When it comes to the military, look, a 20% reduction in the military only goes back a handful of years.
Mr. McAfee, would you cut the welfare programs for the poor? Who will take care of the helpless?
It's a very complex issue, Mr. Stossel. Let's look at Social Security Administration. It is the second largest drain on the federal budget at over $700 billion. And yet, everyone on Social Security paid money that they worked hard to earn into a system that the government promised would pay them back when they were older. Now, that is a commitment that we made as a government. And as libertarians, do we not meet our commitments? Seriously, it is an obligation. It's the obligations we are not meeting, which is the problem. The veterans, here's another issue. We send young men and women off to war saying, go and risk your life and your limb for your country. And when you come back without limbs, well, we're sorry. You know, we'll give you the lowest possible care. This is the problem. Thank you.
All right, these are nice thoughts, but what specifically would you cut? Agencies, for example.
The state is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everyone else. I would cut them all. They had no right to take it from us in the first place. The United States should not be in the business of charitable because you put a gun to someone else's head and you force them to be charitable. Charity is given from the heart. We need to get back to that. That's what made America great. We have removed the role of charity in society. Families, friends, neighbors, churches, community, society. Where is the love for one another? Government doesn't love us. That's what we need. We need to get back to a system where people can take care of one another. The Catholic Church would love to step in and do charity, but the government gets in the way. And Obamacare has destroyed our health care system. As president, I would demand that Congress send me legislation overturning the ACA on day one.
Governor Johnson, you agree? Something different?
Well, a couple of standouts right off the bat. The Department of Commerce. I mean, what promotes crony capitalism more than the Department of Commerce? The Department of Education. Look, here's the argument. The federal government gives each state 11 cents out of every school dollar that every state spends. But it comes with 15 cents worth of strings attached. Federal government says you have to do A, B, C, and D, and here's 11 cents, and the states spend 15 cents to do that. Also, the Department of Education was established after Jimmy Carter, not under George Washington. What has been value added about the Department of Education since Carter did that? Nothing.
Thank you, gentlemen. Coming up, some uncomfortable personal questions for each candidate. But first, when we return, what would they do about terrorism specifically? ISIS.
Tuesday, one state.
We're back with the three leading libertarian presidential candidates. One thing Democrats, Republicans, and libertarians agree on is that it's government's job to protect us from foreign threats. It's here in the Constitution. But people say libertarians won't make us safe. Mr. McAfee, as president, what would you do about ISIS?
That's an easy answer. I'd like to first start. I didn't get a chance to say which program I would cut. I think the FDA serves a very limited purpose, and so that would be the first thing I would address. What would I do about ISIS? ISIS is a problem of intelligence gathering more than anything else. I mean, we have the capacity. Certainly, is anybody doing terrorist acts inside of China or inside of Russia? No, it just doesn't happen. They are so far ahead of us from a cybersecurity standpoint, meaning intelligence gathering in the modern age. We should know well in advance before every terrorist attack on the planet, and yet we do not. We do not. Or if we do, we're not telling anybody. It's one of the greatest tragedies. We need new training. We need to make ourselves up to date. We are 20 years behind the Chinese and the Russians.
That alone would protect us?
I'm sorry?
The intelligence alone would protect us? They want to murder us.
Can I give you an example? Okay. We have the capacity, using pattern recognition, without having to listen to anybody's conversation or invade anybody's privacy, to determine what a terrorist cell is. They have anomalous communications. Leaders will take a different phone and throw it away every day. They use only outgoing phone calls. When a terrorist attack is about to happen, there's a flow from the chain of command. These things are easily identifiable in today's cyber science world. We're not applying them. I'm sorry. And so if we could protect and prevent every attack, would that not help us?
Mr. Peters,
you said something like that.
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that I would do is I would obey the Constitution and respect the Fourth Amendment rights of American citizens. Now, we can fight ISIS. They have inspired attacks on our own homeland, such as in Garland, Texas, and they have attacked Brussels, and they have murdered terrorists in Paris. So they are a sincere threat. But if we obey the Constitution, we follow the advice of the founders, and we listen to Congressman Ron Paul, there are thousands of grizzled veterans that are just aching for an opportunity to do their country a favor that would be more than happy to go over there and take care of these boys for us. I trust the Constitution. I trust Thomas Jefferson. I trust the founders. I believe that if we follow the law, that we can protect ourselves and secure our liberties at the same time.
Mr. Johnson, Governor Johnson, Senator Cruz said we should carpet bomb ISIS into oblivion. I don't know if sand can glow in the dark, but we'll find out.
Well, I think that this is the problem, is that this is how we have addressed these problems. We've addressed these problems with bombs, not our brains. We need to cut off the funding to ISIS, and we need to have Congress declare war on ISIS, and not that they haven't been the aggressor, but where did Al-Qaeda go? Well, gee, we cut that head off, and now we have ISIS, and when ISIS goes, something else is going to arise. Look, we need to contain what's happening over in the Middle East. Declaration of war from Congress, and let's cut off their funding.
A quick answer from on Twitter. Someone called Hopebringer asks, will you end all foreign aid? Mr. McAfee.
Well, again, we have commitments as a U.S. government to a number of other foreign governments that do not involve policing them. And these commitments, if made, we have to keep. I'm sorry. We do have allies, and we do have enemies in this world. If you think we don't, you should look at what China has been doing to us for the past year. Took 21 million records from the Department of the Office of Personnel Management. It broke into the Pentagon, the FBI, Homeland Security. We are at war with China. We are. This is a fundamental issue, and we're simply not paying attention to it. So we have to keep our commitments to foreign nations, but at the same time, we've got to stop policing the world. We can't be the world's policeman anymore. We have problems here at home.
But how about foreign aid, Mr. Peterson?
I do not believe in foreign aid, and if I
cut
had the power to do so, I would cut every penny of foreign aid.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson?
Well, I don't like the term all, but foreign aid, it sounds like food and medicine when the reality is really propping up a foreign government, taking out one despot, and giving the money to another. Theoretically, yes, we should cut all foreign aid. Look, this is money we could be spending in our country as opposed to others.
Coming up, abortion, gay marriage, health care, helping poor people. But next, those embarrassing personal issues, a reason you may not want to vote for them. I'll bring those up next. We're back with the first ever nationally televised libertarian presidential forum. I'm a libertarian. I say any of you would make a better president than our two current front runners. The audience agrees, but there are a couple of things that make me wonder about each of you. So, Governor Johnson, you have already run for president. You lost badly. Some people say you're too low-key to inspire people. It's like you're stoned on marijuana. And in fact, you acknowledge you get high sometimes. I personally don't care, but a lot of Americans will. So what do you say? 2 points. You're too low-key, and you admit using marijuana.
Well, I'm one of 130 million people in that category, and I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 29 years. I've always maintained that legalizing marijuana will lead to less overall substance abuse because people will find it as such a safer alternative than all the other substances out there, starting with alcohol. And with regard to getting beat last time, I want everybody to know I am a fierce competitor. And yes, we got beat, and we got beat badly. But this go around, look, at the heart of this is the Presidential Debate Commission. I'm suing the Presidential Debate Commission. This is at the heart of it. And the only way a third party wins is if they are in the presidential debates, which is something that can happen being at 15% in the polls this election.
Mr. McAfee, when I Googled...
You had a hard time picking and choosing.
I did have to pick and choose. When I Googled you, you sound a little flaky. You went to Belize. Police there accused you of unlicensed drug manufacturing. You were a person of interest in the murder of a neighbor. You left Belize, went to Guatemala, which deported you to America. You're still technically a fugitive, though they don't seem that interested in grabbing you. Here in America, you were arrested for driving under the influence of Xanax. Yes. Why should people trust you?
Well, I mean, let's look at the absolute facts. What are the chances of my survival if I were actually manufacturing illegal drugs in Central America? Please. All right, if I were really doing that, I would have a second half-life. So that's issue one. And number two, I was never charged with murder and certainly not a fugitive from justice. That's an absolutely incorrect statement. You can all that whip. So that's utterly false. I did indeed escape into Guatemala. Why did I have problems? I was asked for a $2 million donation to the ruling government. I said no. Exactly 1 week later, my property was raided by 42 armed soldiers who shot my dog in front of my eyes, tortured me, and destroyed $500,000 worth of my property. That was a problem I had with police.
And DUI in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, the DUI. That was the most foolish and stupid thing I've ever done. I own up to it. All right.
Austin Peterson, here's my problem with you. You're 12 years old. You're not old enough to be president.
I'm 35, so I'm constitutionally eligible. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson was 33 years old. James Madison was 25 years old. The Marquis de Lafayette was 18, and Alexander Hamilton was 18. It was young men that founded this country, and young people will restore it. Young people will take our country back. So don't hate because I'm young and pretty. Because we will take our country back. It's the young people that are going to fight for it. Join my campaign.
All right, back to issues. Ford Fisher sent us this video.
Small government Republicans who are unhappy with Republican candidates may have a very clear reason to vote Libertarian. How would you sell yourself as the Libertarian nominee to disenfranchise Democrat voters?
Governor Johnson.
Disenfranchised Democrat voters, the website I side with. I think that everybody should get on that website, take the 36 questions, see who you pair up with. Now, I had issues with the site. I took the test a couple of weeks ago, and I sided with myself 90% of the time. I think they've fixed that. But amazingly, the next person that I sided with was Bernie Sanders at 73%. So the initial reaction was, you got to be kidding. Then the next reaction was, I get it. I get it on the civil liberties side, on the social side, on the military intervention side. You know what? This is a fit. I advocated for legalizing marijuana. I'm the highest official to do that. Although Bernie rolled out of bed, I guess hit his head, I'm glad that he's now advocating for the same. But there is a real connection there. There's a real connection.
You wanted to add something?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, yes, Governor Johnson has stated that he does side with him on social issues, and we had a big kerfuffle in Oregon last week because Governor Johnson has stated that he believes that bakers should be forced to bake wedding cakes for people that they disagree with, homosexual couples. And this is a big problem because we're running for president as a libertarian.
Is he correct in quoting you?
Yes, but I think that if you discriminate on the basis of religion, I think that that is a black hole. Look, I think you should be able to discriminate for stink or you're not wearing shoes or whatever. But I'll tell you what, if we discriminate on the basis of religion, to me, that's doing harm to a big class of people. And right
should
now,
should a Jewish baker be required to bake a Nazi wedding cake?
I think Muslims right now in this country. I think Muslims in this country would be banned by all sorts of businesses right now because it would be the popular thing to do as opposed to the right
thing. So the Jewish baker should have to bake the cake for the Nazi wedding.
That would be my contention, yes. And the example that I cited was the utility that is privately owned, and because it's the only market that I have to buy my electricity, they're going to cut me off for religious reasons.
Mr. McAfee, get a chance to weigh in there.
Well, you know, if you're the only baker in town, it may be a problem. But no one is forcing you to buy anything or to choose one person over another. This is the issue. So why should I be forced to do anything if I am not harming you? And am I harming you by not selling you something? No. It's my choice to sell, your choice to buy. Governor Johnson.
Well, I vetoed hate crime in New Mexico. I mean, look, prosecute me on the basis of the crime, not my intention. I think that religion is a black hole in that same category, that if you're going to start discriminating against people because of religion, you're going to find a whole class of people discriminated against, and you may be included in that. So it's harm to others.
This betrays a fundamental lack of understanding of the free market. You have to allow the marketplace to work. The government cannot stamp out bigotry. The government is not supposed to make us into better people. That's not what the United States was founded on. The United States was founded so that we could be whatever we wanted. Now, I hate bigotry, and I would stand outside these people's store, and I would encourage a boycott. I stand up for my friends for their gay rights. Yes. And everyone should be equal before the law. But let the bigots out themselves. Let's know who's going to do it. Who wants to eat a cake
Out of time, Austin, I get your point. Coming up, abortion, gay marriage, the death penalty, more. We're back with our libertarian presidential debate. Mr. Peterson, when you introduced yourself, you made a point of saying you're pro-life. You would have government ban abortion.
We're back with our libertarian presidential. Every non-coercive measure that we can to end abortion, and there are options. Ending the federal war on drugs would allow women to purchase birth control over the counter.
But would you have laws on abortion?
The president has no authority to enact laws on abortion. The Congress writes the law. But we should be morally pro-life. All humans deserve the same right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we should find every opportunity we can to save lives.
Yeah. Want to make any points on that?
I think this is where Austin and I disagree, and my apologies, sir. I think that a woman's right to her own body is one of the fundamental issues in this country. More importantly, I do not think it is the federal government's job or the state government's job to interfere in this process. Thank you.
How can there be a decision more difficult than abortion? And who should be making that decision other than the woman involved? No one.
All right, lightning round. Do you support the death penalty? We'll start with you, John.
It's the most barbaric thing imaginable.
Awesome. Absolutely not. The government kills innocent people every year. We should put a stop to it.
Governor Johnson.
No, I do not support the death penalty.
Gay marriage? Any position? Gay marriage?
Well, I met Austin in a gay bar. as long as you grant me the right to a heterosexual marriage, then you may marry who or what you please. So,
I'm happy whenever anyone finds love. It's a private contract. Get government out of it completely.
Yes, I do support marriage equality. And when you say get government out of it completely, what I came to find out is that there are literally thousands of laws on the books. And you would have to go through, if you got government out of marriage, you would literally have to go through and change every single law as opposed to just recognizing marriage equality. You wouldn't have to change the word in any of these laws.
Women are paid less than men. Should government be involved in fixing that? Over to Johnson.
First of all, women should be paid the same as a man. Equal pay, equal work.
Government should get involved in that?
But the devil's in the details, and having vetoed as many pieces of legislation that I have, I would find it hard to sign that legislation. But I would keep an open mind to how that legislation got written. But I will tell you, the devil's in the details.
Mr. McAfee, should government intervene?
I think that people should be paid based on what they do and their talents and their productivity rather than whether you're a man or a woman or anything else.
But who decides, government or the business?
Pardon?
Who decides, government or the business?
Well, the employee decides.
But government should not get
involved. There's more than one business in the world. If you don't want to work for this employee, work for somebody else.
The unfortunate truth is that the reason why there is this, quote, gender pay gap is because of women's choices. Women fall out of the workforce. They have children. They don't work as long hours. So when you look at the economic data side by side, the truth is that the gender pay gap closes. And now more women get more degrees, and 35 years and younger, those women are actually now making more because more women are going to college than men. So should government force more men to get into college? The government should stay out of it.
Last question. Suppose none of you exists. You have a choice between voting for Trump or Clinton. Who?
I'd choose to remain non-existent. I don't vote for people that I don't believe in.
Mr. McAfee, lesser of evils?
You're asking me to choose between a case of the measles and a bladder infection. I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Governor Johnson?
Look, I would vote for the Libertarian candidate if none of us were up here. I would vote for a third-party candidate if none of us were up here. My first vote for a Libertarian candidate was Berglund against Reagan, his second term. He blew the lid off of spending.
That's the end of our first debate. The second half of this forum will air next Friday. When we return tonight, analysis of the debate so far from Fox Business host Kennedy and Reason editor Matt Welch. We've heard from the candidates, so what have we learned so far? Let's ask two smart libertarians. Kennedy, host of her own show here on Fox Business, and Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. So, what do you like so far?
You know, I liked all three of them in different ways. I didn't know John McAfee that well. He came out with a lot of energy. He is strange in a way that I appreciated. I think the fundamental thing that the Libertarian Party has always been at tension is between a sense of purity, someone who will completely represent this vision purely distilled, and a sense of pragmatism, who we think can sell it to people who kind of don't know what the word libertarian means. And so I think all three of them represented different kind of poles of that.
Kennedy?
Matt's absolutely right. This Monmouth University poll that shows that Gary Johnson could be polling at 11% against Trump and Clinton, with Donald Trump only having 34%.
We hadn't mentioned that yet. This is a recent poll that Gary Johnson won 1% of the vote when he ran, but he's at 11% against Trump.
People really are clamoring for a third party. The Libertarian Party has a ballot in all 50 states, and I think therefore people are going to be paying much more attention to these ideas and the pragmatism there.
We've never seen an election like this. We've never seen two front runners who are so hated as this. You have a bunch of deservedly so.
Yeah. If you have Liberty back on the stage in these presidential debates, it completely changes the race. You've got an electorate that is so frustrated at government, and if you've got someone who can logically show how government is the cause for this frustration and limiting it will only do better, it could be very, very interesting for Libertarians.
All right, but too nice. My producer's telling me you guys had some complaints about some of these answers.
Oh, Matt. Austin was all nervous and he was giving the Rand Paul one penny line and he sounded like any other politician in 25% of his answers. And John McAfee, God, what the hell happened there in Guatemala? Not that, you know, the guy obviously suffered.
Guatemala
or Belize, God knows Belize. Where. I don't know. So Gary Johnson, I think, stumbles a little bit when he tries to explain exactly what his position is about gay Nazi cakes and about equal pay for equal work in a way that I think will rub some Libertarian Party long-termers the wrong way.
John McAfee at times reminded me of the skeptical stoner, the guy you're stuck with at a bonfire who just keeps going, what are drugs? What is liberty? And it's like, you're running for president. Why don't you tell me? And, you know, I think that Austin has a lot of idealism and youth, but he talks in a series of bumper stickers, and that can be a little annoying.
And this presidential race somehow has given us a socialist, a democratic socialist, a big government, much more big government than Barack Obama, a Democrat, a Trump. So at some point, the yen for limited government, there was a Tea Party movement. I swear to God, it happened sometime recently, and it elected a lot of people like Rand Paul and other people who have a serious commitment to limited government. That is a real tendency, as it is on the left, of people who want to get the government out of the boardroom and bedroom and drug room and other places that John McAfee likes to hang out.
No one has effectively been able to create a coalition of those people thus far, but we will see if there is a truly viable national libertarian candidate, if they can take the people who consider themselves to be fiscally conservative and socially liberal, or socially awkward in the case of libertarians. I think that describes a majority of voters in this country.
Thank you, Kennedy. Thank you, Matt. We have more debate coming up next Friday, the second part of this debate. More topics, immigration, privacy, global warming, plus questions from Fox News hosts like this obnoxious guy.
So here's my question for the libertarian geniuses.
That and more questions from Fox anchors next Friday. See you next week.